as you know, we're such a little group today that we won't take long, but we're sort of continuing our series on the body, as you're aware, and we're coming up to sort of a little bit of the series where we'll talk about what the body does. And but I sort of thought we might just pause today on just the body as is, just in its kind of broken down form, I guess. Let's have a look. My days at the moment, as you might be aware, are currently spent watching and playing with a one-year-old whose body is right in front of me at all times, unless she's getting up to something, not, or she's out about. But I was thinking that she's my little embodiment teacher right now, because she is just very much authentically in her body, crying if she hurts her head. She's at the moment where she's crying when she needs some company because she's very lonely. You know, literally a second that you leave the room, she'll start crying out for your company. But she'll also, if you put music on, you'll see her butt start to wiggle kind of automatically. Like it's just her body does this as soon as there's music on. Or if you start singing, she'll just start doing this. It's quite sweet. And then she'll, you know, rub her eyes and be tired and want to sleep or want help to sleep. And so I've been kind of my little guru in front of me about living embodied and just responding to the body's messages has been Annika. And she looks in the mirror and laughs and thinks it's pretty fantastic to see a reflection of yourself. And if you show her a photo of herself, it's even better. I think there's something really lovely in this period of watching someone in that space where you see a picture of yourself and you laugh and delight in, oh, my gosh, that's me, how extraordinary. I guess in that space of a small and, you know, a toddler delighting in themselves, I was thinking of the Psalm 139 of, "You created my innermost being. You stitched me together in my mother's womb. For all these mysteries, I thank you for the wonder of myself, for the wonder of your works. My soul knows it well. My frame was not hidden from you while I was being made in that secret place, knitted together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my body even there." It's an interesting psalm because the rest of the psalm is not so lovely. It's often quite vengeful, and it's worth kind of picking up the rest. There's like a whole mood change of, but in this part is just this celebration of self and thankfulness of body, I get to witness in front of me in Annika's little body as she responds authentically to her little body messages. But it kind of highlights for me of, I don't respond authentically to my own body messages. If I'm hungry, I don't kind of go and get food. Sometimes I'll just get cranky, or I'll try and suppress it, or I'll eat whatever that's not very helpful. And if I'm tired, I think, well, perhaps I should come on, Tams, and get your act together. Don't, you know, you've got to function. You know, you're not getting as much sleep at night, or if I'm feeling a bit lonely or isolated, I probably will turn on Netflix. And it sort of reminds me that the messages of my body sending me, if I was to stop and listen, I've been ignoring or commenting on that sort of judgmental response to the body's messages. Led me to think of how much when we listen to the body, what are our responses? Sometimes they come from just sort of, I guess, societal message of, you know, I can fix whatever you've got wrong. And so you don't just think, oh, I'm feeling, you know, foggy. You're thinking, oh, maybe I should buy something and fix that. But just how the church also, as Rod mentioned earlier, how kind of our church upbringing has a lot of comments on your bodily state, whether it was like Shane mentioned, that you just can't trust the body. As last week he was saying that in his church messaging, that, you know, the body is the site of sort of all that can go, kind of go wrong, or is just you should treat it with such suspicion and caution. And that disrupts this listening process because you don't really want to listen to your body's urges, because that just leads you down a slippery slope. Or if I'm feeling sick or I'm feeling burdened, you know, that inability to sit with that results in someone wanting to pray for you and let's fix it. And the many times that you sort of end up not sharing your true state because you don't want someone else's discomfort to, or you don't want to be prayed it out. And so we sort of, for myself, I know, the disconnection from my embodied experience in a church setting, just because we don't sit so well with just what is. And so the body that is tired, the body that is confused, the body that is feeling pain, the body that is feeling alone, the body that is disabled or wounded, that's agitated, that's kind of angry, you know, that all of these things, it's interesting just how quick the judgment or the need to control it or the need to ignore it comes from the messages, our internal messages or our external messages. But in reality, we have these bodies. Hilary McBride, who's a psychotherapist, you might have heard her or heard of us talk about her. She mentioned, and Jackie might be able to back me up or just disprove it passionately, whatever. But just that sort of your neurons in your body, that the time, like your brain sends a message to your body, but in response, your body is sending 9 messages back up to your brain. So there's a complete imbalance of I'm in control, I'm thinking my way out of things. There's a really impractical when the body's constantly feeding your mind, so that if you change your posture, sometimes that will change your mood, or exercising or dancing affects your thinking process. But how much, even reading scripture, like theologically, it's about our brain controlling our body, or our brain in charge, or, you know, whoever's got the smartest brain in the room is given the microphone or the audience. But when in turn the body is what's providing wisdom and talking and sharing kind of its true space, if we dare to listen to it. I was just thinking, oh gosh, there's so many messages that my body sends up to my mind that that I don't honor or definitely don't love, but at least I don't even listen to it, let alone appreciate it and thank it. So almost before the song Rod of Thanks, you know, is the song of I witness it, or I listen, I stop and see what is. I guess the problem with what is sometimes it's less than ideal. The body that is versus the body that can or should be, we sit with that. There's a difference there. Do you remember when, I guess in that, we did that series of, you know, hope-inspired realism rather than idealism. I really like that idea that we're not trying to live in an ideal world, we're trying to live in a real world, and that's hard and that's difficult and that's confronting, but in the truth of that is the grace of God. And I can kind of see why churches want to paint an ideal, optimistic, or just church, you know, upbeat church services, or there's this desire to be in a better place than reality, because reality is messy and complex and uncomfortable. But you know, I guess that's where the grace lies, and sort of the true, you know, the true restoration, maybe, or the true place of God's divine presence. I'm sort of curious as to our little crew here. Has anyone here got a practice or a listening practice that that you have adopted, or a moment where you've taken the time to listen to your body, all those messages, and without judgment or attempting not to judge or comment or fix or control? Has anyone got a practice that they do that helps that, where they just stop and listen? Or,
well, while people are thinking, can I just share a quick story that occurred to me when Tamsin was talking about Annika and that Annika's response to her own body? And it just reminded me of this video that we have of Tilly aged about 18 months or so. It's just one of my most treasured possessions, where she's holding a camera with photos and she's looking through the photos, and then she sees a photo of herself, and there's this, the first response is this cry of delight, and then she kisses the photo, and then she holds it against her heart and goes, oh. So that's this kind of delight and love and a desire to protect. It's just it's this incredible thing. Brings tears to my eyes every time I see it. And to imagine, it's so understandable that we don't do the same thing in response to our bodies as adults. So we can't judge ourselves for the fact that we do. But imagine, you just imagine that. Imagine that response of delight and care and embrace of our own selves and bodies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
No, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. The poet you were referring to before, Rog, Naira Waneed, is that how you pronounce it? Who knows? But there's a quote, and I said to my body softly, I want to be your friend. It took a long breath and replied, I have been waiting my whole life for this. I said to my body softly, I want to be your friend. It took a long breath and replied, I've waited my whole life for this. That sort of tenderness and kind of care, the response, that another response to sort of listening to your body is a tender response, or curiosity, or sort of a gentle care. But I love that picture, Rog. But anyone want to share practice that you have or that you want to have? Yeah, go for it.
I recently heard about I don't know if it's a common Indigenous practice or if it was just this one particular person who was talking, but he was talking about like when you drop a stone in water and you form concentric circles, and he kind of anchors himself in his surroundings by using those concentric circles. So starting with where I am and then what's in my immediate surroundings and then kind of building out from there. I haven't really done it yet, but I really like the idea of kind of anchoring myself in my place and my setting and kind of moving from there. It's it just seems to me like really grounding and really like it would just really increase your awareness of where you are and what's happening. So I kind of tried it once, but I haven't really made it a practice, but do intend to.
Thank you.
I mean, I just occasionally try to, put my phone down, put everything down and sit and, just pay attention and try to give my body just 5 minutes of attention where I check in with the different parts of it and try to listen to it. I just use the words that you use, Tamsin, that try to be curious and attentive to things that it may be saying to me, which I'm not listening to.
I find it sort of interesting, like this kind of idea of that practice is like something that we adopt as for our own body, but also, the communal sense of attentive and curious to one another as we form the body. We sort of touch on it a little bit in past the piece of as we stare at Warwick's, very handsome face, but just we're attentive and curious to one another and to the bodies around us, which is, I think, is a really beautiful, like compared to some church encounters where there's a labeling in that moment. There's a control or a teaching that sits on top of that that attention. As I notice this, you need to conform somehow. But if we can take off that urge to label and control one another, we just become curious companions in this place, without need to follow up with a judgment. And I think it's just something very beautiful in sort of that companioning one another, and then celebrating that we are good, you know, that our bodies are good, our body communally is good, but just our individual bodies are good at their essence, and we get to discover over a lifetime what that means. But I guess if in taking some, you know, beautiful embodied moments of children around us, of, you know, we started with our body is good, and we hope to continue finding that as we go. Any other thoughts or comments? Just before we, as I say, in this series, just the body that is, you know, in, was that Janelle? Did you want to? Yeah, please.
Yeah. Just like to add to that, I mean, I've done mindfulness for a while, which is, I guess, like focusing on the breathing, that sort of thing, which is always very grounding, I guess. And recently I've been looking into, because I'm a social worker, acceptance and commitment therapy. Which I don't know if you guys have heard of, but I'm just starting to learn about it. But there's this practice in it where you kind of try to name what's happening inside of you, just not in like a controlling way, but more just in like, I guess you're meant to be accepting it. So the idea is that you kind of say, oh, like, I'm having the feeling of this, or I'm having the thought of this. And like, instead of trying to shut that down, just being like, this is my experience now, this is what's happening. Which is actually, I've found so far, really helpful, but it's all new to me. So I think there's a lot more to it than that. But even just the naming of the feelings and the thoughts can really help you to kind of, without trying to shut them down, can really help to bring you into the moment, which is good.
I'm the same in sort of the start of just hearing a bit more about that. Jackie, again, you might have had a lot more experience, but yeah, it is so, just there's so much power in just that, calling it out and noticing it. It just it loses some of the fog that I, you know, it kind of just teases it out, which I think is really helpful. Well, we might, because it's kind of getting on, we might sort of just move into a time of communion, which which for us is, you know, it might be my cold cup of tea, and I've actually got some Greek goodies to eat the body of the Greek Christ, maybe. But communion is a really embodied experience where we as bodies are present. We acknowledge the bodies that we're in, and we come together and acknowledge the body of Christ formed as we gather, and we acknowledge, you know, the incarnate God, that God was with body, and continued the process of redeeming body, and the great Christ. That's why Jesus wanted to feed everyone, you know, because he was secretly Greek, you know, that's what Greeks do. So if you want to take what you have, I'll get my sweet sesame Greek dish here called pastilli, and your cup of tea. And I'm going to read the words of Christ, that as he broke bread, very bod, as he gathered with his disciples. And taking bread, he broke it, he blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Eat it in my memory." So maybe take what you have, and we'll eat together.